Hello, I'm Jan van der Made and welcome to this edition of International Media. Well, today we go to three countries, Jordan, Myanmar and India. In Jordan, the head of a Jordanian trade regulatory body on September 10th, 2017, publicly accused a regional press freedom group, the Center for Defending Freedom of Journalists, of failing to correctly register as a non-profit organization. If they don't register according to the rules set, they may lose their legal status altogether. Now, the Center for Defending Freedom of Journalists has published six reports that chronicle a rise in government censorship in Jordan and took aim at the Jordanian government for not living up to promises to uphold press freedom. I talked to Nidal Mansour, the president of the CDFJ and its Jordan director, and asked him why his organization is being targeted.
It is a political case. They are targeting CDFJ, Center for Defending Freedom of Journalists, as a step to target the whole civil society in Jordan.
Why does it happen now?
This is the question, million questions. We don't understand why. We don't understand now why. It is a question to the government. The government say, no, it is just a legal case, but we know it is not legal case because we have a group of lawyers told us that there is no legal case and there is no penalties or there is no problems in our work. Okay? This is, we don't know exactly. Maybe they are nervous from our shadow reporting to the UN, okay, because we are activists in writing shadow reporting to the UN mechanism, to the Human Rights Council. And we are, our last 18 years, we have a monthly report and yearly report about the violations against media in Jordan and in the Arab world. We don't know. Maybe it is the case behind this step from the government or from the action from the government.
You have the feeling that this pressure you are facing now, is that the result of the Arab Spring since 5-6 years, that the whole situation seems to be changing and politics are changing?
Of course, you know, Arab Spring now, it is end. And now all the issues happen in Arab Spring and the space for the freedom of the press and the other, it slips now. There is a lot of pressure coming. As example, we have now a new alternative law about a crime of electronic media and social media. And also the government, before more than 7 months, they want to have a new law related to the social media. And we are against the issue because we are afraid about the freedom of speech. And also they are using hate speech to say they are the problem and we need to solve this problem and we need to change the law to have more punishment against the social media, that all the time there is a lot of rumors and a lot of hate speech. But when you want to change the laws, we are afraid about freedom of speech, but they don't listen.
And then to Myanmar. Here, cartoonists seem to be taking aim at Rohingya Muslims, and their work is spreading rapidly across social media in this country, which is mainly inhabited by Buddhists. The UN and human rights groups have repeatedly accused the Myanmar government for doing nothing while local authorities are ethnically cleansing the Muslim Rohingyas from the territory amidst chaos, murder and arson. Now, cartoonists and journalists as well used to be attacking the military junta before it receded to the background, releasing democratic icon Aung San Suu Kyi from house arrest and allowing her to become a political figurehead, albeit without official function. I asked Sai Nguyen, training director with the Myanmar Journalism Institute, how domestic journalists approach the Rohingya issue.
Their approach, the domestic media approach, is mostly, not all, mostly they cover the Rohingya issue with the nationalisms. When they report on the Rohingya issue, the one came to their mind is nationalism. And then self-censorship is happening. I believe there are a few people covering, they approach this with objectivity. But there are also some people, and self-censorship is not just nationalism, but also fear. They have a fear of military response. They're scared of public pressuring.
Are you surprised this is happening?
Actually, I don't surprise on that issue because I have seen it in 2014 and 2015. So honestly speaking, I don't surprise on that.
What reasons do they give to write in this nationalistic way, as you call it?
We had an informal talk among journalists 4 days ago. I was an organizer, but it was just an informal. The objective of that talk is to learn and to improve our journalism. So it was interesting. I asked the same questions. And there was a question that, okay, we didn't see as an audience, no one reported about who touched a fire for the Rohingya villages. We all know that these were, and this has happened because of the military set fire and some Rakhine Buddhists in Rakhine, they set fire. But we didn't, no local reporter reported on that. There are a few people, one or two reporters, gave a clue, the link of who set fire. That there was none, almost, they didn't mention about the military and the Rakhine on that issue. So we asked the question, and there was a discussion on that. And two reporters attended, and they visited to Budida Mountor conflict area. And they revealed their own experience. Four of them said they are scared of the military harsh response. And also, military means government also in line with the military in that sense, in this issue. And they are also scared of their life security. They're concerned about their security on the ground.
Do you have the feeling that it's generally become better for journalists after Aung San Suu Kyi got released and there were elections?
Media freedom under the new government or the civilian government, it is not declining, but it is not improving. When the civilian government and Aung San Suu Kyi came to power, I personally expected to increase of the media freedom and to the betterment of media freedom and democratization. But it didn't happen. But maybe the positive thing is no journalists are in prison, except a few cases, and they were shot and in prison, but they were not sentenced in the long-term prisons as such. But it doesn't change, it doesn't improve the media freedom. If you look at legal aspects, there is no improvement. If you look at media accessibility and accountability of the government, there is no improvement.
And we end in India, where another journalist was murdered. Just 2 weeks after the brutal killing in broad daylight of Gauri Lankesh by a gunman, a reporter covering political unrest in India's northeast, Shantanu Bhoumik, was beaten to death. I asked S.N. Sinha, president of the Indian Journalist Union, if he can describe what happened to Bhoumik.
He went to cover that, and there some people took him in a side and killed him, which was a really very unfortunate incident. And we are also demanding from the government that they must go for a central bureau of investigation in what circumstances he has been killed. But we know these are the groups which has related to political parties. So if they have killed him for some reason against a particular journalist, then it is a big issue.
Earlier on in this program, you talked to us about the death of Ms. Lankesh on September 6th, who was killed in broad daylight. You then indicated that you thought it was politically motivated because of the critical nature of her writings. Is there any result from a police investigation in that case yet?
On the Gauri Lankesh case, that case was purely a political killing because of her ideology and her writing against a particular group of political ideology. That was one of the reasons we have said at that time, and that was very clear. Now the police have came to a conclusion. They have named some people of the same ideological group whom they suspect they have killed Gauri Lankesh. Still, but they have not arrested them. They have not found it out to them, but they are trying to find it out.
Do you see, as a result of this violence, that less people are interested in becoming journalists in India?
No, that is not. Because I can tell you, journalism is always, you had to take the risk. From the beginning of the journalism, whenever we do a journalism for the society, people will attack you. And we don't want a police protection all the time. But yes, what we are demanding from the Indian Journalist Union and all the journalist community of this country, the government must come out with a special law for the protection of journalists, where they can investigate it in a faster way and prosecute the killers in a faster way. That can give a signal to the people, if they will attack journalists, they are not going to be left.
And with that, we end this edition of International Media. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.